I'm Lance Carter. Welcome to this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Today I'm talking with Stephen Lang. He's currently guest starring on the USA Network's In Plain Sight as James Wiley Shannon, Mary Shannon's father. Mary Shannon is played by star Mary McCormick. I was in a film, Gods and Generals, with Stephen a while back. I was lucky enough to have a scene with him, and we even spent some time together in the makeup trailer. He played Andrew Jackson in the film, and he was in character the whole time, and guess what? He was intimidating. But as Jackson, he had to be. I think Lang's one of the best character actors around, and I'll watch him in pretty much anything. As I told him in the Q&A, anytime he's on screen, he's just immensely watchable. I love the guy. In this Q&A, Stephen talks about his work on In Plain Sight, how theater helped him with green screen work, and his advice to actors. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. And don't forget that we also sell casting director and agent mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool actor services available. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's a great Stephen Lang.
Hey, Stephen, nice talking to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So I was in Gods and Generals with you. And
you were in it?
Yeah, I was in it. Yeah, you and I had a scene together. It was one of the battle scenes, and I come running up to you on the horse, and you, in your Jackson sort of way, kind of called me a big girl. It was great. It was complete one of the highlights. And since
then, you must have been going the wrong way.
I was going the wrong way. Exactly. That's why you yelled at me. And since then, I've seen most everything you've done, and I gotta say, whenever you appear on screen, your scenes always pop. They always have an energy, and even if you have like one line in the scene, and a lot of actors don't have that, I don't know, power or something. Is that you? Something you focus on and strive for? I mean, does it come naturally? And I guess what's the secret you have that others don't? I mean, you're just immensely watchable when you're on your screen. Like eyes just focus on you. You know?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you the secret for obvious reason. I can't let that get out.
Sure, of course.
The other people who know this, all those other people who know the secret will get mad at me if I let it out.
You're a secret.
But I don't know. That's right. It's the secret. The secret eyes on me club. I don't know. I think that it, for me, it's probably focus and relaxation. Stillness is helpful. You know, kind of an unwavering and unblinking look doesn't hurt either. I think, you know, it would depend on the part. A part like James Wiley Shannon, you know, so much of his life has been based on disappearing into the woodwork. So if I'm popping off the screen, I don't know, maybe I'm not being successful there. I'm going to have to attend to that, you know, because his whole thing is about being innocuous and, you know, unobserved and stuff like that, I think.
What's your advice to actors?
Oh, my goodness. My advice to actors, well, to successful actors, it's sock it away. And to unsuccessful actors, it's just, you know, keep at it. If don't do it unless you have to do it, and if you have to do it, then you got to keep your instrument in shape, you know. You just got to keep working on, keep getting better. If you're not getting better, you're standing still. If you're standing still, you're petrified. If you're petrified, you're no good to anybody in this business. So just continually develop.
Can you kind of talk about how you got involved in
Insane Sight? I received an offer to do it, and I read the scripts, and I thought they were terrific. And
And that's really how it all came about. As what I was told by Dan Lerner, who was one of the producer and directors of the show and has been with it for a long time, was that over the years they've talked on and off about the role of James Wiley Shannon, about Mary's dad, and who should play it. They bandied about ideas, I guess. And finally, when push came to shove, they thought that I would be the right person to do it. And so I was quite thrilled, you know. I thought it was excellent writing. I think that it's a superb cast, led by Mary McCormick, who's terrific in the thing. And so I couldn't see any reason in the world not to do it.
Well, then, is that what you find challenging about your role?
Well, I find a lot of things challenging about the part. When I read it, you know, it's an arc over three scripts, really two, you know, just the introduction and the first one. But there's a completeness to it. I found it challenging to, first of all, to play a character who has been talked about for a long time, who I guess the core fans of this show have been waiting for a long time, and they have feelings about him and resentments about him as they identify with Mary. To try and argue, as it were, his side of his story, you know, to defend his life, to defend his character. That's the challenge of it. To also be believable, convincing as her father, as Mary's father. So, you know, I guess on roles have challenges on kind of every level to me, and this one fit the bill. You know, there are things you read occasionally and say, well, I could do that in my sleep. And such things, those roles don't really interest me that much. This one had some bite to it. I thought he's got history. And so I thought, yeah, this is a good thing to do. So there were a lot of challenges.
In what ways were you able to give more to the character since it wasn't quite as physically demanding as Terra Nova?
Well, I like the idea of playing somebody where a toll has been taken on him over the years, just, you know, physically, from moving about, just from circumstances being tough. That was all playable to me, and it was all something I. He's a guy who, I don't know if I'd say that he's quite at the end of his rope, but he certainly has reached a point of vulnerability in his life where the options are starting to run out for him, you know. He's taken so many paths, and it all seems like it's a big maze, in a way. And I think he's just getting very tired of running.
Now, you've played the poles. You've done some real stand-up guys and some thoroughly evil characters, but the vast majority of your roles are somewhere in between, and so they're all shadings of gray and odd colors. And I was just wondering, what was it about James Wiley Shannon on the page that suggested what colors that you could use to play him that would make you want to do the role?
I don't know that I see things so much in terms of colors. I do talk about palette sometimes when I act, and I know what you mean. I think I'm a father. I have children. My children are grown. And this circumstance of walking out on your children and the pain that you cause and the knowledge of having caused that pain and the pain that you carry with yourself because of that, that's all very, to me, that's very, very poignant stuff. It's something that's very difficult for me to imagine, you know, doing something like that. And so that makes it kind of territory that's worth exploring a little bit, trying to. And I can't say I go into it with any preconceived notion of, you know, I want to paint him this color or that color. I sometimes I think of that wonderful line that Henry Fonda says, at the end of Once Upon a Time in the West, and he and then Charles Bronson, who's been wronged by him, looks at it and says, "Are you good? Are you bad?" And Fonda says, "I'm just a man." In the end, and I feel that way about so many of the characters you play. You just try to find, you know, I don't try not to put a name on it, you know, and just try to find the person in there, and then let others be. Either then they can say whether he's a hero, a villain, or somewhere in between.
How do you assess what you've done with the role? Do you ever think about that after you've finished? Are you ever? I know actors are rarely completely satisfied with a performance because it can always be better. But is what do you like with what you did?
Well, I'll have to watch the episodes. I haven't seen them. I did watch the first one where I just make that first appearance, and I thought that was it was simple and it was honest, and that's kind of what I look for. I do recall as we were shooting it, walking away from scenes, feeling that I had kept it simple and kept it honest, which is really where I'm kind of at right now. Those are major operative words with me. And so I think as I watch it, I'll assess it, I think. And as you say, I'm sure I will see things where I go, I could have done that better. Oh, my God, what was I thinking? Oh, why did he let me do that? But hopefully there won't be too many of those moments, you know. As long as the story is well served, and I feel that the entire company of In Plain Sight, they have such a long-term investment in this show. They've created these roles, this story, this saga, and if they're to me, their satisfaction is paramount. You know, if they feel if I've brought to life the Shannon that they had envisioned, then I'm really happy because they've been with this thing long term.
After some effects heavy work in Avatar, Conan, Terra Nova, is it a nice change to sort of come in from the jungle and do something a little more grounded in reality?
Well, first thing I did when I got out there, I said, excuse me, where's the green screen? I can't work without a green screen. No, it was great. It was nice to get back into kind of this century, for one thing, and wear something that wasn't paramilitary, I think. And, and tell a kind of a human story, and not that the others aren't, but you know what I mean. It's kind of on a different scale, an intimate story. I mean, I know it's a big show, and it's all about witness protection and everything, but you know, essentially, we're telling right there, we're doing a father and a daughter kind of a reunion show, albeit not a conventional reunion.
You obviously have a long resume as a theater actor. Did that help ease your transition to the CGI heavy work, working with the green screen? Did it help your ability to kind of work with that which you can't see?
I think it does, sure. I mean, you know, look, when you go on some level, acting is the art of pretend. And you have to have a highly cultivated sense of imagination to do. You have to be able to see things that ain't there, no matter what aspect of acting, whether it's green screen, whether it's on stage, whether it's anything else, whether you're working on the radio. And so it's just something that we cultivate. I think that actually that kind of work comes quite naturally to us. But you have to, you know, you want to develop the technique for it. Yeah.
Is it a particular joy for you to play characters that toe the line between friend and foe?
Mm-hmm. This sort of gray area. And I was thinking that it's probably a product of having worked with Michael Mann a lot, because Michael is the guy who really, he treads that gray area in almost all of his work. You know, the distinction between good guy and bad guy is so, so minuscule. But if I look back on so many of the things that I really love, so the characters real and imagined that I love. Very often, they are characters who it's very, very difficult to kind of ascertain whether they're good or bad. For example, you know, I've always loved the character of Nicholson in Bridge on the River Kwai, the Alec Guinness role, of course, you know. Is he a good man? Is he a good or is he a bad man, you know? I mean, or someone like Patton, you know, who is sort of a wonderful man and at the same time a complete monster, it seems to me. So I think that I do have kind of an attraction towards some of these maverick characters who are kind of morally ambivalent.
Do you enjoy more the more dramatic type acting or the action scenes, or maybe you find one more challenging?
I like them all. I mean, you know, I like to have a try and get a good balance of them. I love scenes that are just a emotional give and take. By the same token, action sequences are great to do. They have their own demands and requirements. So, I take it as it comes, and hopefully you can get a good balance of all of that stuff. What I rarely get to do is to do anything of a comic nature, too, which is unfortunate because I'm very funny.
Are you going to try to go after that kind of role in the future, you think?
Well, we'll see if it ever comes. You know, nobody's sending, they don't send them. They go, you know, my agent's there and say, Lang, he's not funny. You know, he kills people. He's not funny. They go, no, he is. He's really funny. He is. Anyway. And then they go, so be funny. And then, you know, I can't be funny.
Look, all the roles you've done over the years, a lot of varied performances. Is there any role you were offered that you were turned down and you regret turning down?
I think there are projects. I tend to put them out of my mind, and I can't think of any one project that I turned down that I was. I've had a good eye for things as a rule. Occasionally, just because of time, because you can't be in two places at once. Although now you can digitally, I suppose. There have been things I haven't been able to do. Although, to be honest, I can't think of them right now. There have been things I've done that haven't had success that I felt bad about. You know, that I wanted to do more of, but that's always going to be the case, it seems to me. But no, I'll tell you, man, I feel like I'm very happy where I am, and you know, it's that old butterfly effect thing. If you change one job you did 20 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now. You know, the entire trajectory would have been different. So, je regrette rien.
Thanks, Stephen, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. Love that you guys do that. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.